a blind beggar. This is someone from way down at the very bottom of the social strata, the very bottom of the ladder of their society. To go below him, you have to go down into slavery, into those who are the property of others. At least he is a free person. He is a blind beggar, Bartimaeus. A blind beggar who has as his principal means of earning support and earning income, asking for alms from those who walk by. He can't even see the people he's asking money from. He can't see them. He just knows that they are there. He reaches out his hand or his bowl to ask for alms. He must depend upon others to get him to where he is going to beg. He must depend upon others to put coins into his bowl or his hand. He must depend upon others to tell him when there will be someone there to ask alms of. He must be depending upon others for his very existence. Blind Bartimaeus, the very bottom of the social strata, indeed in many other ways too, Bartimaeus, his name tells us a great deal about him. Bar in Aramaic means son of, or member of the family of. Timaeus, Timothy, is a Greek name. So his name is an interesting hybrid of an Aramaic concept, son of, and Timothy, a Greek name. His dad was named Timothy, and he was called son of Timothy. So he's at least a half Jew. So he's an outcast already. He's blind. And usually they assume that you were guilty of something if you were blind. He's poor and a beggar because he has no one to support him anymore. He must depend upon other people for his money. And he's a half Jew on the edge of society. Blind Bartimaeus. Now, he's also very interesting because of the healing stories of Jesus, very few of them, very, very few of them ever name the person who was healed. Very few of the healing stories tell us the name of the person who was healed unless that person comes along later and plays another role in the church or in the society or in the gospel story, or unless it was someone who was already of importance in the gospel story, like Lazarus. So the healing of people is usually done anonymously. Here, he has a name, Bartimaeus. And it's a half Aramaic, half Greek name. And he's poor and a beggar. It's very unlikely that this fellow would have been made up. So historians looking at this story say, here we have a very authentically, historically probable event. Jesus heals a blind beggar, half Aramaic, half Jew, and half Greek, named Bartimaeus. None of the other Gospels use the name. They tell the story, but they drop the name. Here we have Jesus healing someone on the very edge and margin of society who nevertheless has a name. That also tells scholars that it probably means that this fellow continued to be important in the church, so much so that the story got retold with his name attached to it. For instance, it's probable that Peter himself knew Bartimaeus and told the story of the healing of Bartimaeus by Jesus again and again, so that by the time John Mark wrote it down, the name was really attached to it. Later, gospel authors, when they used Mark's gospel, dropped it out thinking it's not important. So we can learn something about Bartimaeus and about the healing event itself by looking just at his name. Bartimaeus, son of Timothy. What else do we learn from this story? Well, its placement. It comes after a whole sequence of events where the disciples have been arguing about the nature of Jesus and about the nature of the kingdom and about the nature of their role in the kingdom of God. Indeed, just last week and from previous verses in this very chapter, we have James and John Zebedee begging to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus in the kingdom. They came to Jesus and they said, "Let us sit at your left and your right so we can be your head men, your right and left hand men in the kingdom of God. We want to have the seats of authority and power." And then Jesus goes on to say, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And so the church gets to arguing about, well, who gets to be first and who has to be last, who then gets to be first, and who gets to sit at Jesus' left and who gets to sit at Jesus' right. And the disciples, of course, got mad about it. Isn't that just like the church always arguing about junk and nonsense and missing the point altogether? Amen. Bartimaeus got the point. A blind beggar, half Jewish, half Gentile, son of Timothy, sitting and begging, hears that Jesus is coming by. Doesn't know exactly where Jesus is, but he knows he's coming by, and he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And in that initial cry, he says something very important. He applies to Jesus a messianic expectation, a messianic label, a messianic title, the title of the Messiah, Son of David. Immediately off the cuff, recognizing, going out the gate, recognizing that this Jesus is special. He's the Messiah. He's the special anointed one of God, which is what Messiah means, anointed one of God. He hasn't seen him. All he's done is heard about him, but he's willing to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And of course, the people who are gathered around him, they know who he is. He's a beggar. He's half Jewish and half Gentile. He's blind. He sits over here. "Oh, hush up, Bartimaeus. Don't bother the master. Learn your place and keep it." Isn't that what society does? Isn't that what we do? Learn your place and keep it. That's what they were saying, essentially. But Bartimaeus would have none of that. "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus hears him and stops still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man. "Oh, oh, oh, take heart, Bartimaeus," those hypocrites. Now they know that Jesus wants to see him. They say, "Oh, take heart, Bartimaeus, and go see him. Oh, we're going to get to see a miracle now." And Bartimaeus, it says, throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. Throwing off his cloak. In most interpretations of this passage, that is pointing to the concept that he tossed off all of them. He tossed off all of that which was weighing him down. He tossed off his cloak. He tossed off his possessions. He probably had very little. He probably tossed off his bowl that had the money in it. He tossed off his bowl and rushed quickly to see Jesus, to come up to Jesus, to approach Jesus. He rushed up to Jesus, leaving behind all that he was, all that had been weighing him down, all that had been suppressing him and oppressing him and keeping him down, and he rushed up to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asks him. And the blind man said to him, "My teacher," not teacher, "My teacher, teacher of me." He's already affiliating himself with Jesus. He declared him Son of David. Now, my teacher. Oh, we talk about Jesus as Lord. We talk about Jesus as Messiah. We talk about Jesus as Savior. We talk about Jesus as brother and friend. But do we really understand and accept that Jesus is our teacher? Ooh, that means we got to listen to what he has to say. Well, sometimes that's uncomfortable. Uh-huh. My teacher, he says. My teacher, let me see again. Up until this point, Jesus had been encountering people who were trying to get something out of him. The rich young ruler wanted to know what he had to do to be saved. What loophole he could find in the process. He wanted to hear what he could do to be saved. You had the Pharisees asking questions to trick him into saying something that they could then use against him. You had people who would come to him seeking something specific, something trickery. Here we have a fella coming with a simple request. My teacher, I want to see again. He knew he was blind physically, but oh, my brothers and sisters, he could see better than most of them because he could see Jesus. I want to see again. My teacher, I want to have sight again. And Jesus said to him, go. Your faith has made you well. Go. Hupoge. It's an imperative in the Greek. It's the verb present in the sentence. It's a command. Go. Your faith, and here it's the noun form, not the verb form of faith. Your faith has made you well. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here we have a blind man, a man who could not see, a man who is blind, and yet he has faith in the Messiah, in his teacher, in the Son of David, in Jesus. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, and yet he had faith. Do we? Most of us have eyesight. Some of us have better eyesight than others. Some of us have four eyes, six eyes when you got the little bifocals and trifocals. It adds up, my brothers and sisters. But most of us can see somewhat. But do we have the sight of Bartimaeus? His vision was 20/20 compared to the disciples, arguing about seat and about position, about power. Bartimaeus wanted to see. James and John came asking for the right and the left hand's seats in the kingdom. Bartimaeus came asking to see. And Jesus said, your faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Your faith has made you well. Another possible translation here from the Greek, equally valid, is your faith has saved you. Same word in Greek means both. It means saved. It means delivered. It means rescued. It means made whole. It means made well. It means made complete. Your faith has delivered you. Your faith has rescued you. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you one. Your faith has delivered you. All of these concepts and ideas are present in that one simple word in Greek, sozo. Your faith has saved, delivered, healed you. Your faith has given you sight. So here you have Bartimaeus. He's thrown off his cloak, which means he's half naked. He's standing there in front of Jesus with nothing in his hands. He's a beggar, now totally dependent upon Christ Jesus, his Lord. And Jesus says, your faith has saved, delivered, and made you well. Of course, he immediately followed Jesus. His faith was alive. It was powerful. He had sight again. He could see. And it says, immediately he followed Jesus on the way. Immediately he responded to the gift. Immediately he responded to the healing. Immediately he responded to God's grace in Jesus Christ. And he followed Jesus. He didn't become one of the 12, but he's probably one of that outer circle just outside the 12 who followed Jesus. Some of those even gathered near the cross at a distance as Jesus died. Bartimaeus may well have been one of them. Bartimaeus became one of the great disciples of the early church, according to many traditions and legends about him, proclaiming that Jesus brought him sight. And although he had been a poor beggar, Jesus made him rich in faith, rich in love, rich in hope, rich in eternal life. Where's our faith? Do we have the faith of blind Bartimaeus? Can we have the faith of blind Bartimaeus? Can we see Jesus with our own eyes today? Well, you know, that takes faith. Oh, Greg, I would love to see the resurrected Lord coming in clouds of glory to take us home. Look up in the sky and see Jesus up there on a cloud, and we can go. Why do you wait to see Jesus that way? When you can look to your neighbor, to your sister and your brother seated next to you in the seats, and in your neighbor see Jesus, the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears, the lips of Christ, the heart of Jesus, open for you. Why do you want to look and see him in clouds of glory when you're missing him sitting right next to you in the seats? Why are you looking to see him in clouds of glory when you're missing him begging on the street corner? Like Bartimaeus, Jesus says, you give a cup in my name, you've given it to me. You feed one of the least of these, you have fed me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, blind Bartimaeus came, and he may have been physically blind, but he had spiritual sight beyond the disciples. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. And he could see, and he immediately followed Jesus. Where's our faith? Where is our faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Where's our faith as a family of God? Where's our faith as a community of faith? Where's our faith as individual Christians? Where's our faith as Northgate United Methodist Church? Where's our faith as the United Methodist Church? Where is our faith as Protestants? Today is a very special day in the life of the Protestant Church. Today is known as Reformation Sunday. Today is the day when churches that are part of the Reformation celebrate Martin Luther's taking his 95 theses and nailing them to the door of the Wittenberg Church, proclaiming his questions about the wayward actions and beliefs of the Catholic Church of his day. That was a long time ago, my brothers and sisters, and the Catholic Church has changed tremendously, and Protestantism has come into existence and changed many different times. But in the profession of the Protestant Reformation, the idea and the concept of faith was at the very core and the very heart of the expression. Salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and not by doing the works of the law, and not by buying indulgences, and not by worshiping artifacts or relics, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, sparked alive by reading the Holy Scriptures. Where is our faith today? I look at Protestantism. We don't protest much. We're pretty satisfied. And we're declining, and we wonder why. Oh, my sisters and brothers, do we have the faith of Bartimaeus, a willingness to see Jesus, a willingness to see the Messiah, a willingness to recognize Him as our teacher, a willingness to then follow Him where He leads us? Do we have the faith of Bartimaeus? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.